This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Islam has a cultural mandate. Allah actually says in the Quran, "Wa'mur bil 'urf." Command to urf, which is kind of weird to translate it because it's like command to culture. And even when Allah says al-amr bil ma'ruf, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says al-amr bil ma'ruf, commanding or enjoining al-ma'ruf, it's not enough. I don't think it's not specific enough to translate it as the good. Allah didn't say wa'mur bil khair. He said wa'mur bil ma'ruf. Ma'ruf is like the known good, and there's a reason why. It's not a coincidence that urf, culture or custom, and al-ma'ruf are linguistically related. It's a nod to the fact that there are things that the Sharia generally approves of, meaning that as opposed to specifically commands to, there are general things in the Sharia that the details of which are filled in by urf, by custom. And this is known. The scholars have a saying, al-urf muhakkama, that the custom is, I want to say muhakkama is authoritative, and it has conditions, so it's not always, and there can be cultural or customs, cultural practices or customs that are haram. We're not saying that this is a blank check, but in specific scenarios, that Islam cares about the furthering and the purification of culture. Culture is important. Islam is not anti-culture. Why? Because culture helps, I don't want to say fill in the gaps because there's no gaps in the Sharia, it's actually part of the Sharia. Culture helps to tie people's minds and hearts to the Sharia in culturally specific ways. I'll give you a flip side example. A lot of people who convert to Islam from Christianity, they miss Christmas. Okay? Christmas is one of the things they miss the most. They don't miss Easter, usually. They miss Christmas. Why? They don't miss the fact that, you know, celebrating Jesus' birth. They don't miss like those things. They miss the snow in the window and the white candles in the window and the cookies coming out of the oven and all of the sensual memories that the cultural aspects. It's a very culturally potent thing, Christmas. The way that they build it out is very, you could say, intelligent, even though it's based on falsehood. First of all, Jesus wasn't born then. Second of all, he's not the Son of God. You know, we know we have our criticisms, but if you look at how to create culture and how what culture can do, just like the nasheeds of the companions or other things that they did, that it, what did they say in their poetry? What did they recite? What did they talk about in their nasheeds? They talked about the battles. They talked about, you know, like things, but that was in their own cultural mode, right? So if we have a general command in the Quran and in the Sunnah to love Allah and to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then cultural modes become significant for how to achieve that. Okay, for the Arabs it was poetry. Poetry was their thing. Okay, if you go to other places, they had other things going on. Now you have to filter that through the Sharia, what's haram, what's halal, and what's sort of a gray area. But the thing is that everywhere Islam went, it had a constructive and productive relationship with the local culture. It was not anti-culture. It didn't wipe out cultures. This is another one of the main differences between the spread of Islam and the spread of, say, European colonialism, which came and completely wiped out cultures, homogenized the places. Islam did not do that. Islam actually, wherever it went, started in Arabia, then it went to Sham, right? Then it went to Iraq and Persia, and it went to Egypt and Sudan and North Africa and West Africa and all these places, Asia Minor, Eastern Europe, the Balkans, and to Sindh, and to India, Hindustan, to Southeast Asia, everywhere it went, it had a productive and constructive relationship with the culture that already existed. So what does that look like? That means that Islam and the Sharia put that local indigenous culture into a filter. And the things that were good and pure, it allowed to keep going. And the things that were completely ridiculous and beyond the pale, it stopped. And the things that were a mixed bag, it purified. It removed the bad elements and the harmful elements from it, and it allowed the positive elements to raise to the top. And that's why you're able to have a local Arab Islamic culture, and a local Persian Islamic culture, and a local Turkic Islamic culture, and a local you know, Bosnian or Balkan Islamic culture or an Amazigh Islamic culture, Berber, you know, all these sorts of areas that Islam came to. After it was allowed to interact with that, with what was on the ground, it produced an Islamic version of that culture. Now, what's the purpose of talking about this for Dawah in the Americas? We have to let the same thing happen here. You can't just import the culture. You can't import all of, you can't recreate Egypt or Cairo or Baghdad or Damascus or Fez in Iowa or Kentucky or inner city Philly. I mean, you could, you can literally do it, but it's not going to call to the people. The people aren't going to, that's not going to be legible to people. People aren't going to be able to see that and see themselves in it and say, maybe this is for me. They're going to say, oh, that's what those foreigners do. And they're going to keep on pushing. So when it comes to doing da'wah, the cultural imperative is very, very important to the da'wah. You have to be able to bring Islam to the hood and allow it to interact with the culture and purify it. You have to be able to bring Islam to the barrio and allow it to interact with the culture and purify it. You have to let Islam come to the res. You have to let Islam come to the trailer parks and allow it to interact with the culture and purify it. And then what you get out of that, that's actually what's going to allow the people to see it as a possibility for themselves and then actually potentially embrace it and make it their own. One of the groups that I've seen do it is Islam and Spanish. Islam and Spanish does this well. Imam Abu Sumaya, Wesley LeBron does this well, right, with the three Puerto Rican imams. If you go down to Texas, and they got Brother Jaleel, who, you know, recently was in the hospital, may Allah continue to heal him. He goes there eating his mariachi suit, you know, so they understand that I've seen them do it. So it's definitely something that's possible to do. So absolutely, there's ways to do it.